Welcome to the Do Deals Get Rich podcast.
The two rules to buying any business.
Making the barrier to entry just so easy.
Here's how you get your money back.
That was good.
That was actually really good.
So this is the story of how I became the prince of partial acquisitions. So in 2015, I was practicing law. I was doing mergers and acquisitions for all these big, massive private equity companies. And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to last very long in the law firm job. There were just things I didn't like about it. I didn't like the people that I worked with. I felt like I could go out and do it better building something for myself than building it for other people. So I started to pay attention to what would be the thing that I could leave my job to go and do. So I had tried a couple things. I tried to do a home health business where I was going to buy a residential house and turn it into a home health business. That ultimately didn't work. I tried to do some online stuff, some e-commerce stuff. This was in 2015, so there weren't as many people out there teaching you how to do those type of things, but I tried to do that and it didn't work as well. And I finally came across one day an article that was in MarketWatch that was called The Unbelievably Lucrative Business of Escape Rooms. And it talked about how escape rooms were this brand new thing that were just coming out, that they had been really popular in Europe for years and years, and they were just barely starting to come to the United States. And there were a couple escape rooms sprinkled around. There were a couple escape rooms that were close to me. And the nice thing about escape rooms back then in 2015 is they had an online booking system. And so every single morning when I would go into the law firm, I would pull up the escape rooms that were close to me and I would look at how many bookings they had that day to have customers come through to do the business. And so I started paying attention to how many escape rooms were there. But because I was an M&A lawyer, I wanted to do something but not completely start from scratch on it. So I thought, you know, every single day I'm going and I'm helping these wealthiest people in the world do acquisitions to grow their wealth. Why don't I do the same thing? Instead of starting an escape room from scratch, why don't I go buy an escape room or a family entertainment business in order to get into this market that I feel like is going to be a big market? So went and I started doing just cold outreach to escape room owners in Texas and Utah. Those were the two places that I was willing to live. And one of two things happened. Either the only people that were willing to sell their escape room, once we got into the details and we started looking at it was very obvious that they were wanting to sell their escape room because they didn't have a very good business. And it would be harder to try to resuscitate their business that they had than just starting from scratch. And so it didn't really help solve my problem. Or the people that had a pretty decent business, they were so excited about the new opportunity that they had in the escape room business that in order to get them to sell their entire business, it was way too hard because they would look at it like they were giving up their child that they had worked so hard on, and they were going to lose that income stream that they had just barely started to build. And so there's just like this massive disparity in terms of what I could pay and what they were willing to take. There's this massive gap that we could never really bridge the difference on. So I kept looking and I kept looking, and I was just frustrated that, again, I walk into a day job and I do mergers and acquisitions for the best people in the world. And then at 8 o'clock at night, I go out and I try to do mergers and acquisitions for myself and I can't make any of the deals happen. It didn't make sense to me why I couldn't make it happen when it was what I did. It was what I learned. It's what I was trained to do. So one night when I came home and I was just watching TV with my wife, and I had a young daughter at the time, a three-year-old, and there was a show came on called the West Texas Investors Club. And so the West Texas Investors Club is like the cowboy version of Shark Tank, where Matthew McConaughey's older brother, Rooster, was on there, and these people would come and they would pitch to the West Texas investors their businesses. And the thing that was interesting was the two kind of shark equivalents of the West Texas Investor Club, Matthew McConaughey's brother and his partner, they were like very country. Both of his children are named after beers. I think one is named Miller Lite and the other one is like Corona. And so it was just surprising to me because I was coming from this world of, you know, sophisticated people that like the only way to make money is by doing kind of these complex transactions with a bunch of debt with a lot of risk. And I saw these people that were very clearly much wealthier than I was, and also very clearly much less educated than I was. And so they had figured out a much smarter way to make money than I had. So I started looking him up, and I started to figure out, was Matthew McConaughey's older brother rich because Matthew McConaughey gave a bunch of money? Like, what is it that these guys did that got them wealthy? And I came across their story, and they had gone bankrupt living in West Texas, and they were building pipe. They were selling pipes to oil and gas fields, and they had gone bankrupt a couple times. Then in 2004, they came across a business acquisition that they were interested in doing. But instead of buying the entire business, what they did is they bought the patent that the business held. And because it wasn't the entire business, they were able to buy this patent for $200,000. This was in 2004. They bought this patent for $200,000. And then 2 years later, in 2006, they sold the patent and the business that they had built around the patent. They sold that business for $120 million. And so in 2 years' time, they had taken a $200,000 investment and turned it into $120 million. And as I was researching how they had made their money, it all kind of clicked for me that I kept trying to go after acquisitions the way that private equity funds do it, who have access to a massive amount of debt, who have the capabilities to take on all the operational responsibilities of the businesses that they ultimately acquire. I kept trying to do it the way that they were doing it. And they have 100x more money than I do. They have 100x more access to resources than I do. So me trying to do it the way that they do it obviously wasn't working. And I continued to try it, continued to try it. And so I thought, what if instead of going out and trying to buy entire escape room or family entertainment center businesses, what if I just buy a portion of the business that will be useful for me? And so once I changed the way that I was going about trying to do the acquisition, it made it all so much easier, because instead of me going and talking to escape room business owners, what I did was I moved it and I started talking to escape room owners that weren't operating in the United States. I found an escape room owner that was operating in Europe who had all of these room build outs, this whole design of how to operate the escape room business. And I asked him if I could pay him to acquire all of the US rights to operate his business in the US, and I was gonna bring my own name brand to the business. And it was a very simple transaction. He said absolutely yes. He had no plans on moving into the US to do it. And so we made that transaction happen very quickly. I bought those rights for $5,000 because he had no interest in moving to the US. And that business, 5 years later, I sold for $26 million. And it was all possible because I started to look at trying to do less than a full acquisition, which made it so much simpler because no one was talking about doing a partial acquisition back then. And so when I started to talk to those people about deals that could make sense for me to do in order to try to get an escape room done, it all became very simple because no one else was going after the exact same thing that I was going after. They all kept trying to go after full acquisitions and, you know, put a bunch of debt on it. I went after, let me just buy the piece of the business that I need to get my thing done that I need. Let me buy this piece of the business that I can bring leverage to that helps me get leverage in building my escape room business. And I allowed them to keep the rest of it. And so using that playbook, the partial acquisition playbook, that was the first time that I had seen it done outside of me. And then I did it myself. And it was so much simpler than what I was doing for a day job for the biggest private equity firms in the world doing mergers and acquisitions. So that is how I got my start doing smaller deals, but deals where I got the most important piece in order to scale my business. And then it allowed me to bridge the gap on the price. You know, there wasn't this big disparity in terms of what the expectations were, me doing the deal versus what they needed to be bought out of the entire thing. And it also allowed me to move forward on the business that I wanted to move forward with this piece kind of copy and paste into the plan in order to help me go forward. And so that was my first partial acquisition foray. Since then, I've done a lot of other ones, which have been interesting. And it's been interesting to see how it's been able to help other people kind of sidestep this whole full acquisition model and use partial acquisitions as a toolkit to bridge the gap whenever there's a big disparity between what a potential seller is willing to take and what you as a buyer are able to do. That is how it all began, and hopefully it inspires you to get more deals done and to get rich. Peace.